Okay, let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word, utilizing 1 John 1:9 if necessary. And if you're a believer who is already in fellowship, pray for concentration on the teaching of God's Word. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity to assemble ourselves together to hear your word. We pray, Father, that you might challenge the believers here this morning. I pray for others who are grieving. We pray, Father, for your divine comfort and encouragement. Father, we pray, Lord, that we might continue to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth, Father. And Father, we know that our citizenship is in heaven, from whenceforth we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, Father, we have to battle, Lord, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we pray, Lord, as we battle Satan and his forces, we might put on the full armor of God. We might stand earnestly, Father, in your strength and in your power. And utilize, Father, our weaponry so that we might defeat Satan and his devices. Continue to train and teach the believers here. And I pray that they might continue to stand firm against Satan and give them the resources necessary through the teaching of your word to do so. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And this verse comes after the section on the armor of God. But it's not disassociated from the armor, because if you actually look at even the English here, at the end of verse 17, we have a semicolon. I don't know if you have that in your translation, but I have a semicolon at the end of verse 17. And therefore, verse 18 is connected to verse 17. And let's take a look at verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are the last two pieces of the armor that are given. And notice here, praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know, after you take the armor, take the helmet, the salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you take it praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so, even though prayer is not, I would not consider prayer a piece of the armor, prayer goes hand in hand with the armor. Prayer is very important to be utilized as a tool or weapon in conjunction with the armor of God. And so prayer is very vital in our combating against Satan and his forces and his temptation. Prayer can also provide support for other believers who are facing Satan and the temptations of the devil. And so we'll begin here with a quote by Warren Wiersbe in the Bible Exposition Commentary. He says, "Prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor and wield the sword. We cannot fight the battle in our own power, no matter how strong or talented we may think we are. When Amalek attacked Israel, Moses went to the mountaintop to pray, while Joshua used the sword down in the valley." I find this interesting. Remember that account, Exodus 17, 8 through 16, I believe they were lifting up the hands of Moses. As long as his hands were up, they were winning the battle. When his hands were down, they were losing the battle. And so you have an interesting thing going on. Why Amalek attacked Israel, Moses went to the mountaintop to pray, while Joshua was using the sword down the valley. It took both to defeat Amalek. Moses' intercession on the mountain and Joshua's use of the sword in the valley. I think this is where prayer comes in. It's both the armor. It's not either or. It's both and. Both the armor of God and the prayer support in the battle. And so prayer, we provide support and we derive spiritual power through the means of prayer. Now he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The word for prayer is a general term here, prosukamai. It's a present mental participle, present tense, referring to ongoing action. And so prayer is ongoing. It's something that we do without ceasing, as the Bible says. Prayer simply means communication with God. And I explain it to the children. The children understand simple concepts, and prayer is not a hard concept to understand. Prayer is talking to God. That's as simple as that. Prayer is simply defined as talking to God or communication with God. We see spiritual or so-called spiritual people that make prayer into this, some mystical thing. Oh, Heavenly Father, way out there in some yonder distant land and all that. And I was thinking, if he was standing there before you, would you talk to him like that? Oh, Holy Joe, you know, and all, it means like, you don't even act normal when you're talking to God. Certainly he's a being that needs our respect. I'm not saying to be flippant when we approach the throne of grace or the holy presence of God. I'm not trying to say that. But I'm saying, though, we could communicate with him. The Bible says we can come boldly, right, to the throne room of grace. And we can simply make our requests known to God. We can come with access because of what Jesus did on the cross as believers. And so we need to simply talk to God. We need to express our feelings. You look at the prayers in the Bible. You see normal human beings expressing their desires, their concerns, their intercessions for other individuals. And so we need to demythologize even prayer into some kind of holier than thou stance. And so prayer here is simply talking with God or communication with God. And we are to do so here with all prayer. It seems redundant, doesn't it, saying praying with all prayer, but it's really not. The word praying always, we look at the word all, mean the word root word pos, is used four times in this sentence. It's translated always and all. Notice, first of all, we have praying always. And then secondly, we have all prayer and supplication of spirit. And notice, being watchful with this and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Four times that word is used. And so we stress the completeness of prayer. And the idea is prayer is complete. It is sufficient. It's powerful. The idea here is we need to continue to do so on a regular basis. We are always to be in an attitude of prayer. I think that's what it means when it says to pray without ceasing. And so we are to pray in any and every circumstance. We are to pray and bring it to God. And sometimes I think we use prayer as a last resort. I'm going to try to attempt to solve this problem in my own strength, my own wisdom, my own power. And then if everything falls apart and doesn't work out, I'll pray then. And I don't think that's what we should do. We should go in an attitude of prayer always. And even the simple things that we do, we need to pray and ask for the Lord's guidance, for the Lord's direction, for its will. And so we always need to be in an attitude of prayer and not use it as on the back burner in case everything else fails. Prayer is our powerful weapon that we seldom take up. And it's, I think, seldom used effectively because we really don't believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says here, we are to pray always. And now, this means at every occasion or every opportunity that is available. Or you can say at every critical time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Paul said. He's always praying for the Colossian believers, praying always for you. You know, sometimes I think when we look at the various needs, we only get the red light flashing emergencies that we pray about, right? Siren, warning, warning, warning. This is critical. Let's pray about that now. Someone's sick. Someone's ill. You're having financial difficulty. Warning, warning. But really, I think even the small details we should pray about. We see what we think is a spiritual person. We say, we don't need to pray for them. But Satan is what? In the context of the armor, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he attacks the most spiritual people. And therefore, we need to pray for them. And Paul even said, pray for me. And Paul is a godly man. And he needed the constant prayer of believers. And as a pastor, I need your constant prayers. And therefore, we can't take it lightly, even when we see another believer. Well, he's not sick. He doesn't have financial difficulty. So we don't need to pray for him this week. Why do we put prayer in that only those two categories, seemingly? That's 90% of our prayers. You know, really, it's prayer for spiritual growth and understanding God's Word. And look at the prayers in the Bible. And I see the prayers in the Bible are different than a lot of prayers that we pray. See? So we need to pray here in a constant attitude of taking our request to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's look at that. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And I don't think that means take things literally. Little interpretation is good, but it's not like the homeless guy walking down the street mumbling all the time. That's not the idea. It's like, I can't stop. You know, you ask me a question. No, I'm praying. I'm praying right now. Don't interrupt me. That's how I think. I don't know if you think that way, but when I read that, that's not what it means to pray without not stopping at all. It means always. It could be in the present tense, iterative present. There's a certain tense in the present that means if you have a dot and you skip a space and put dot, and you skip a space, put dot, and skip it, that's called the iterative present. And so the idea is I need to pray now, and then I need to continue to be an attitude of prayer, and that doesn't mean that I need to, without stopping as far as linear, but I need to constantly be in that attitude of prayer. And I think that's what it means to pray without ceasing. And at every occasion, every opportunity that we have that's available, we need to take that privilege of prayer. Now, here's a quote from the book by Colonel Thieme, The Christian Warrior. He said, the importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized. Think about that. The importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized. Prayer is a part of the Christian warrior's offensive action. And the command for effective prayer is issued repeatedly throughout the epistles. Yet this command is obeyed less frequently and with less enthusiasm than all the other orders from the divine headquarters. Think about that. I've seen even spiritual Christians in general have not really placed the emphasis on prayer as they should. They don't see its importance. But it's very, very vital. And therefore, we need to always be in an attitude of prayer. And then he says, with all kinds of prayer. I think that's the attitude. It's praying always with all prayer. And that's what, praying with prayer? No, praying in all occasions with all different kinds of prayer. There's various elements of prayer. Tom Constable, by the way, has an excellent book on prayer I found very helpful. He breaks down prayer and its various elements, praise and thanksgiving and intercession and request and wisdom, praying for wisdom. And so he breaks down prayer into various categories. And I think we need to learn those various categories of prayer. And prayer has various categories. Prayer, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6, 1 Timothy 2:1. The believer who prays only to ask for things, that would be called requests, right? There are times when we pray to express our needs. There's nothing wrong. We need to take our requests, but that's not all that prayer is about. Going back to the quote here, the believer who prays only to ask for things is missing out on blessings that come with intercessions and giving of thanks. We need to be praying for other people, and we need to be giving thanks to God for answered prayer. In fact, thanksgiving is a great prayer weapon for defeating Satan. Praise changes things. I like that. We usually pray, prayer changes things. Praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. Intercession for others can bring victory to our own lives. And so that can encourage us as we see God working and answering our prayers in the life of believers. That certainly can be motivating to us as well. And so more than likely he's saying praying with all kinds of prayer. And prayer is the noun form of prosuke, prayer to God. And then he says, and supplication. Supplications, the word means petitions or requests. It's an entreaty to plead or beg. That which is asked with urgency, it would be better. That which is asked with urgency based on presumed need. And so an urgent request we need to bring to God. General talking to God, and then urgent request. And that's the idea. You know, a child can talk to a parent, you know, just about information. I think we can talk to God about general things. I don't see it wrong to tell God about our feelings, our emotions. God, I have to face this today. Just general conversation. We normally don't think of prayer as general conversation, but it can be. But then there's certain things that kids come, Mommy, Daddy, please help me with this, or I need this. And I think that would narrow it down. Prayer is a broader term. Supplication would be the narrower term. And so certain petitions with urgency. That's the idea. There's an urgent need that we can utilize and take to the Lord. And so we are to pray with all at all times, with all different aspects of prayer and requests or petitions based on the urgency of the situation. And notice how he says to pray. Prayer in association with the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Now, if I would say generally to Christians, what do you think praying in the Spirit means? I would ask the average Christian. And I would get various responses. Well, you got to fast before you pray. And you have to, you know, have this holy look about you. And that's in the Spirit. And most people, you know, some of the charismatics would say speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit, right? They have this some kind of mystical view of what praying in the Spirit means. But he's not being mystical here at all. Actually, the word in is very important. It's a marker of close personal association. It means in jointly or closely to, or I would say in fellowship with the Lord, or fellowship with the Spirit. Look at John 15:4. Certainly the believer, in order to have an effective prayer life, must be in fellowship with the Lord. Jesus taught about prayer when he spoke of himself being the vine, and we need to be connected to the vine and abide in the vine. He said in John 15:4, abide in me. That's fellowship. The word minnow means remain or dwell. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, very important, fellowship, knowing doctrine. You want your prayers to be effective? You must be in fellowship. You must know the word. Fellowship, doctrine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be what? Done unto you. So the idea is abiding in fellowship. Here, abiding in the Spirit. Walking in association with the Spirit. Now, I would say that would be being filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. So this would be tying into the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And yes, that one ministry is the key to the Christian life. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit, producing spiritual fruit, having effective prayer, walking in fellowship with God. And that filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is the key ministry of the Spirit that relates to our sanctification, our ongoing Christian walk. And so as we're controlled by the Spirit of God, that doesn't, and I've always stated, it's not the feeling ministry of the Spirit, it's the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some people think it's the F-E-E-L-I-N-G, I feel the Holy Ghost. The feeling ministry of the Holy Spirit. No, it says the filling ministry. means as I'm walking in fellowship, I may not feel sensational. I may have a cold. I may be sick. And I can be filled with the Spirit, by the way. And that Spirit can control me, and my prayers can be powerful and effective. As a sick person, laying in the bed, not being able to do anything else, but interceding, taking our request to God. And so that would, I can pray in the Spirit there. And so praying in the Spirit is not some mystical thing. It means praying as I'm walking in fellowship with the Spirit, walking in fellowship with God, praying controlled by the Spirit. Here it's not lower S, but capital S. I believe it's referring to the Holy Spirit. And so you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit is not some mystical thing, but the believer walking in fellowship with the Spirit. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they what? Be agreed. If I'm sinning against the Holy Spirit, if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, if I'm quenching the Holy Spirit, I'm not in association with the Spirit. See? Personal sin causes me to not walk in fellowship with the Spirit. And then when I'm praying in carnality, my prayers will not be effective. So I must abide in the vine. I must abide in fellowship. As we saw in John 15:7. Let's take a look at James 5:16. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a what man? Righteous man avails much. Very important. You want your prayers to be effective, you need to pray in the Spirit. You need to walk in fellowship with the Lord. And that will have impact. Your prayers will have punch. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked. The Lord is far from the wicked. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. He hears the prayer of the righteous. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So it's very important to be in fellowship, walking by means of the Spirit, or what we would call be filled with the Spirit of God. That's praying in the Spirit. And then once we're filled, we can bring our petitions and our requests before the Lord, and they will have impact even against Satan and others who are battling against Satan. And this is where watchfulness comes in. The idea is you need to stand guard for others. Not only for yourself, certainly the idea has a direction inwardly, but I think it also has an expression outwardly. You're on guard duty. And so if we want to put this in the context of warfare, you're standing guard duty. You're keeping alert. You're being awake. You're not falling asleep, because your life being awake preserves or protects others, so many others who are asleep. And therefore, we need to be always on the alert, because you can be attacked at any moment. That's the idea of watchfulness. Present active participle, meaning ongoing. The idea is to keep awake and be on guard, to be alert. Always be watchful. Never let your guard down. This present participle is used in classical times. It means to lay awake at night. To lay awake at night. Or to watch sheep. Some people try to count sheep in their head to go to sleep. But it was used of a shepherd watching sheep and guarding those sheep. So this is a vivid terminology. Whether you're standing as a soldier on guard duty or you're watching sheep, you are looking out for the benefit of others. That's the idea. And I would think this would bring into the idea of intercession. Because you're doing it for what? He'll end up saying, with all perseverance and supplication for what? All the saints. And so you're standing guard duty for the other saints. And we need to be constantly lifting up prayers for others because Satan is always attacking. And when we see believers drifting, we need to pray for them even more and earnestly, and so that they might come back into fellowship with the Lord. And we need to stand guard on behalf of others in the angelic conflict. We're all in this together. We're not isolated. We're not by ourselves. And that's why we need to express our prayers and let our requests be made known, because others are facing some of the same conflicts that we are. Now, we have a similar Greek word here. Gregorio means to be in constant readiness or be on the alert. So, related word here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be watchful. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You can never let down your guard. You always need to be watchful, because Satan is always ready to attack. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. These are commands. We are to watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. It's almost like a sergeant barking out orders. And so we have these short, terse commands here. And one of them is watch, watch. And then we have Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Verse 38. You remember again the prayer in the garden. And Jesus is in the garden here praying. And he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Think about that. In his humanity, he wanted his disciples to stay and pray the watchful, because this was an intensified time in the angelic conflict. And things were heightened as far as what Satan was about to do and the influence he would have on the disciples' lives. And therefore, they needed to guard, stand guard duty that night. But they fell asleep on guard duty, didn't they? And notice verse 40. Then he came to his disciples and found them, what? Sleeping on guard duty, spiritual guard duty. Found them sleeping. And said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? No. Watch and pray, verse 41. Lest you enter into temptation. Watching and praying comes before temptation. Very important. We usually pray after we fall in temptation. How about praying before temptation arises? You know, you don't watch after the bomb has already, you know, come. Or let's say there's a driver that comes through with a machine gun, and you know, you don't stop him at the gate. You don't watch after all the harm has been done, but you watch before things happen. And so this is an attitude that we need to take in advance of the conflict, praying ahead of time for others, lest they fall into the snare of the devil. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, you desirous, but the flesh is weak. And so we need God's divine strength, don't we, when we watch. Now, carnality hinders us from watching. Because in carnality, it's me, myself, and I. That's it. Me, myself, and I in carnality. It's all about pleasing what? The flesh. I don't care about Joe Blow and his conflict over there and all that, what they're going through. It's all about me. And therefore, carnality hinders us from thinking about others. And we're always thinking about number one and pleasing ourselves. And therefore, we don't intercede when we're in carnality. In 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Meaning born-again believers. Meaning the word sleep there is being spiritually indifferent to the things of God. We would call this carnality. The carnal Christian is sleeping, spiritually speaking. But let us what? Watch and be sober. And he says, those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But we are of the day. Look at the verse 8. Let us who are the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice how watchfulness and sobriety is tied into the armor. See the connection there? It's not separated from the armor. It goes along with the armor. See? As we're watchful, we put on the armor. And so we need to be watchful. And God did not certainly appoint us to the wrath of the tribulation. But we are to be on our guard for others. Now, so we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and fellowship with the Lord by means of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end. The NIV has with this in mind. We would say with this purpose, with this or with this in mind. And what is that? We're watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so the watchfulness, I think, although it may have a relationship to we need to guard ourselves, certainly that's true, but I think mainly the idea is for others. As we pray, we need to intercede for others, stand guard duty for others. And so it's for this in mind, with this goal in mind or this end in mind. With all, here's another all here. All here, therefore, in this context means the greatest or highest degree of perseverance. It's a marker of highest degree of something. So we could say with the greatest perseverance. With all perseverance means with the greatest perseverance. So watch with the greatest persistency. And therefore, it's not something done haphazardly or when you feel like it. This takes effort. Perseverance takes effort. And that's the idea. The perseverance means to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of despite difficulty. Even in difficult circumstances, we are firmly persistent, we could say. We are firmly persistent. We have an example of this in Luke chapter 18. And this is one of the keys of prayer, persistency. And even intercessory prayer. In intercessory prayer, sometimes we give up on people too soon. I've been praying for them for years and nothing has happened. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on persisting. Keep on persevering. Now, we have the parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them. Here's the punchline. Parables have a main point. Here's the main point. He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's the point of this parable. We need to always pray and don't give up. Be persistent. The example was of a widow here. There was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me, for my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow's troubles me." She's nagging. But she bothers me. She's constantly persistent. "I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Okay. Enough is enough. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" The idea is, I think the key is persistency. Now, this is not the same thing as what Jesus describes earlier as vain repetition. It's not simply repeating monotone words over and over and over, incoherently. Like I have to repeat the same word over and over, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Or maybe chant om, 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 or whatever. That's not prayer. That's the praying that the heathens do, as the Bible says. That's repeating the same thing over and over and over and over. No, that's not persistence. Persistence is praying an intelligent prayer, but you continually ask and ask. That's the idea. So it's not vain repetition, just repeating words just to repeat things. That's not what he's talking about. Praying in fellowship with the Lord on a regular basis, ongoingly. That's the idea of persistence. In spite of opposition and difficulty. And therefore we need to be persistent about the matter. Praying with the highest persistence and supplication. So we must not give up on praying. Keep praying. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Notice the word continue. Continue, and notice the word earnestly. Persistence in spite of difficulty. Continue earnestly in prayer. Being what? Vigilant. On your guard for others, right? In it with what? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Then we have 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. We have an example of the widow here. And she's the one who trusts in God in the past. The one who continues in supplication and prayers night and day. This is a godly widow that the church should support. Here, the characteristic of this widow is that she continues in supplication and prayers night and day. She's persistent in prayer. Persistent in prayer. That's one thing that widows can do. Pray. Be persistent in prayer. And so we must not give up on praying. Praying with all persistency and supplication. This is request. The idea based on an urgent need. Again, we have that word repeated the second time here. We have the supplication in the Spirit, and here it's supplication for the saints. See the connection. Supplication in the Spirit. Here, though, that supplication, that request is not for a need that you have, but for the needs of others. And who are the others? Well, the others here are believers. And notice, not any believer, but all believers. See that word, all. Our fourth usage of that word, pos, or the root word, pos. All. Praying for all the saints. And so Paul says we should pray for all unbelievers. Now, in this context, he's not talking about that. But we should also pray for believers. See? Normally we think of praying for the unsaved that they might receive the gospel, they might believe the gospel. And that's what Paul said about praying for, I think even for wisdom, in the sense that what conscience brings in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We are to pray for those in authority, certainly. This is very important. Paul says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. And that would be what? Saved and unsaved. That we may lead a godly, a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So, we should pray for even unbelievers. Pray, I think, that they might accept Christ as their Savior. But here, it's for the saints. For the saints, believers. And so, we are praying for all the saints. Now, who are the saints? The saints are holy in their position. That's every believer. All of you here that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are saints. You're a saint. Now, you may not be saintly, if you want to use that term, in your life. You might not be holy in your life as a Christian, but you are holy in your position. Why? Because you've been set apart in Christ and you have received His righteousness. And you're holy in union with Christ. And therefore, I'm a saint in my position. That's always, Chafer has said this, it's always related to position. The word saint. Never to experience. So the Roman Catholic Church, who likes to canonize and call people saints because they did some godly series of deeds through their life, that's a false view. The word saint refers to position. Position, not experience. And so praying because, well, that believer's carnal. I shouldn't pray for him. Yeah, you should pray for him. He's a saint. He's a carnal saint. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? I'm a carnal saint. But it can be true. That person's a saint in their position, but not in their experience. Or as far as not a person is holy in his position, but not holy in his experience. See? Now, just because of they're a believer, that's why you need to pray. And therefore, no believer, praying for all the saints, no believer should be exempt from prayer by others. You say, I'm not praying for that person. Why? Why not? Aren't they in that category of all? Well, yeah. Now, I certainly know that we, in our prayer list, and we have a list at home, there's only so many people you can pray for, right? Obviously, there's almost only so many hours of the day. But I think as the Spirit guides you, I think you can list individuals that we need to pray for. There's nothing wrong with having a prayer list. I think that's helpful. Very helpful to remind us to pray for people, because as you get older, you tend to forget. And therefore, you need to write it down. And we need a prayer list. But the idea is we don't ignore people just because we don't like them. We are to pray for those that God brings across our path, and I think expresses that need to us. 1 Corinthians 12:21, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 12:21. Here we see the unity of the body, and therefore the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. This is so relevant. I think there's certain believers, you have believers that skip church for months and then all of a sudden show up, and you're really saying this, I don't need you. That's what they're saying. I don't need you. I don't need the fellowship of other believers. I don't need their encouragement. I'm strong enough on my own. I don't need other believers. Well, the hand cannot say, I have no need of you, meaning I can grow in the Lord without your help. God designed the body of Christ for mutual support and encouragement. We cannot exist without each other. Sorry. Christian life was not ever meant to live in isolation. Never. It's always meant, there's called this entity called the church and the local church with live believers. See, I can see you all here. I can see that you're all alive. Some more than others. But we're all to get in this together. Hand, I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the foot, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are what? What does it say? Necessary. Very important. If you're a strong Christian, you know, you need the weaker believer. Those are necessary. Even for you, you are there to help them. You are there to encourage them. You are there to intercede for the saints. They need your prayers. Those weaker believers need your encouragement. Those weaker believers need your prayer support. And also, I would say verbal support too. I think it's encouraging when someone says, I'm praying for you. I welcome that. That's a good thing. I'm praying for you. Or I've been praying for that situation. And so we need to be persistent in our prayers. And I think this tells us a lot about the power of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul even had believers praying for him. You think the great apostle Paul didn't need other people's prayer? But he did. And he requested it. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's take a look at it. I don't know if that's the correct passage here. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Let me take a look real quick here. No. But anyway, Paul did request other believers. I don't have the right verse there, but Paul did have other believers praying for them. He wanted believers to intercede, and he asked even for believers to, in the following verse, I think 6:19, praying that a door might be opened to share the mystery of the gospel. And that following verse 19, also Paul prays for a specific thing. He asks for believers to pray for him in a specific manner, is my point. And so Paul had other believers at times praying for him. And so even the great apostle Paul needed prayer. And so no one is exempt from prayer. Now, Paul requested that other believers pray for him. Colossians 4:3, let's see if we have these verses right. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Notice that, praying for us. That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am chained. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. Notice that. Here he didn't give the specific request. He just said generally, right? Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. And I think that's part of the angelic conflict too. Satan uses evil and wicked men to attack Paul and his missionary team. And so he was certainly requesting that believers would pray for him. And so as your pastor, I ask you to pray for me. Be consistent about it. I need your prayers and your prayer support. Well, with that, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the scripture and the importance of prayer. And we pray, Father, that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we might see the necessity of prayer, the importance of prayer. We might be persistent in prayer. We might walk in fellowship so that our prayers will be effective. And Father, help us to be on our guard because Satan is always ready to attack. Help us never to let down our guard, but even help us to be watchful for others and intercede for others. And Father, continue to help this body of believers to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We cannot stand in our own devices, Father, but we certainly need your divine enablement. And so I pray as believers here appropriate your grace, they might put on the entire armor of God and stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And if you're here and not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel is simply Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And the only thing left for you to do is believe in Christ because he offers you a free gift called eternal life or everlasting life. And Jesus is the provider of that. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can only go to heaven by believing in Him. And once you place your faith in Christ, the Bible says you possess everlasting life. And it's yours forever. Father, thank you, Lord, for the scripture. And we pray, Lord, that you might continue to answer our prayer requests as we are walking in by means of the Spirit. Help us as we face this week the advances of the devil. And help us to be aware when he attacks. And help us to put on the armor of God and stand by your power. It is in Christ's name. Amen.